I get to preach on All In. I don't know how many there are left in this sermon series, but I think I might be the fourth one. I kicked it off, and now we're doing All In on Purity. All In on Purity. We're going to spend all of today, the next couple hours, don't worry, I'll keep it short. We're going to spend our time together talking about purity. In Psalm 119, it says in verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies I delight. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have the opportunity to meet today, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here. Just like we sang, I love that song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome in our hearts. You're welcome in our minds. You're welcome to fill this place to the brim and then overfill it, Father. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I pray that my words would be of you and that you would just use me as a conduit of the message that you want to speak to our church this morning. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. I was at Costco just the other day, and there was Christmas stuff out. What on earth is with that? It's like 33 degrees out there, and there's Christmas stuff. It's terrible, right? I mean, no. My wife loves Christmas. She's so pumped to, like, you know, she's like, "Oh, Christmas stuff is out." I'm like, "Oh, no, already." Purity. Yeah, it's early. It's early. Purity. How can a young man keep his way pure? I just love this question the psalmist asks in this verse. How can a young man keep his way pure? Purity is the quality of being without fault. It is the quality of being fully something, right? Like if you're looking for gold, right? If you want gold, you're going to buy what? Pure gold. You're not going to want impure gold. That's foolish. You want pure gold. When God was commanding his temple to be built and the altar to be built, and he chose that all the articles that the priests would use as their tools would be made of pure gold. All the oil for the sacrifices would be pure oil. It could not be watered down. Church, purity is important to God. However, I believe that we live in a society where purity is really undervalued. As a matter of fact, I believe in the society we walk in today, impurity is valued. I mean, it's seen as a rite of passage, just a part of life. Like becoming an adult is this aspect of impurity. And you do not have to go far in a supermarket or, you know, on TV or on Netflix or however you stream your content, whatever music you listen to. You do not have to work hard to find impurity in this world. It's everywhere. It's pervasive in our society, impurity. And what are we as Christians supposed to do about this? How does a young man keep his way pure? Just by asking this question, I apologize. Just by asking this question, I think the psalmist is ahead of many people out there. Because lots of people just walk through life doing this, doing that, without ever asking themselves this question. And church, I'm challenging you here today. I am not here today to judge your Netflix watch history. I am not here today to judge the music you listen to. That's between you and God. I'm only here today to ask you to ask yourself the question, how do I keep my way pure? We all need to ask ourselves this. There's so much content out there. I mean, there's Netflix, there's Disney Plus, there's Hulu, there's like Crave, there's Amazon Plus, there's like, some people might still have cable, I don't know, does that exist anymore? Some people probably, you know, there's so much content out there. You can go on YouTube, how much can you find? You can find good things, you can find bad things. What are we, church, finding today? Are we insistent that we find pure things? Are we just whatever content comes our way? Are we questioning the content in our lives? Because I think that Jesus is incredibly concerned with the content of our lives. In Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Are you seeing God this morning? Are you pure in heart this morning, church? We should be able to answer this question, yes, shouldn't we? See, in this impure world, we were called to be pure, of the finest quality, like pure gold. I mean, the Bible talks about refining us, right? God's constantly refining us through fire, these situations in our life. We are in a time of fire. We are in a time of strife. We are in a time of conflict. Our purity should be shining more than ever, right, church? But instead, unfortunately, I think out there's just so much. And too often, we Christians are just, you know, watching what the world watches, listening to what the world listens to, taking in what the world's listening to, and then people see us and they see them and they can't see the difference. And again, I'm not here to judge, you know, like, I'll judge you for other things, but not for that. I'm a pretty judgmental person if I'm being honest, but I'm not here to judge, but I'm here to just, let's ask that question, church. Are we keeping our way pure? In Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Think about the standard that Paul sets here. Something true, honorable, something, you know, commendable. And then think about all the content out there. How much lives up to this? How much of what we take in as people in the 21st century, how much of it lives up to this standard that Paul sets? This is a high standard. And the calling of Christ is a high call. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. The psalmist answers his question by guarding it. See, in the world we live in, impurity is a reality. In the Old Testament, God set up the animal sacrifice system for two reasons. The first was for the remission of sins, but the second was for the restoration of purity. See, in Levitical law, there were lots of things that made you impure, and many of them were actually just daily activities. Touching a dead animal made you impure. They lived at a time when if you wanted steak, you went out, you found Bessie, and you made steak. Right? That's how they made steak back in that day. So just having a meal, preparing it, made you impure under Levitical law. Now that doesn't mean that they were sinning, that just meant they were impure, and they had to go and either do a wash or sacrifice an animal, depending on the time or the act, and become pure again. What the psalmist is reminding us is that purity is not a natural action. It's not a natural state of being. It's something that we have to work towards. It's something we have to guard ourselves from because there's impurity everywhere in the world, and we as Christians need to guard ourselves. "With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." With my whole heart, I seek you. Are you seeking purity this morning? Because what the psalmist to me is reminding us here in these two verses, he's saying, this takes work. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14 says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I love this word, straining. Because too often, we've had this idea that this Christian walk is rainbows and butterflies and we can do whatever we want and then we're forgiven. But God's grace and His mercy are amazing and wonderful and limitless, but we were not called to take them to the limit. See, I think we all understand as Christians that there's a line we're not supposed to cross. There's certain things we're not supposed to do. Certain shows maybe we shouldn't be watching or certain content we shouldn't be having in our lives. And so often we ask ourselves, how close can I get to the line? How much can I see before it's too much? How much can I hear before it's too much? How much can I say about someone behind their back before it's gossip? How close can I get to that line? What we're told here, we're supposed to strain away from the line. Not how close can I get, but how far away can I be so that I can be effective for Christ? Because purity is effectiveness. That's what the psalmist is saying. How can a young man keep his way pure? If we want to be effective, we need to be pure. So what are we, church? Are we straining towards the line or away from it? Are we saying, well, you know, this show isn't that bad, this song isn't that bad, Or are we setting a high standard like Philippians 4? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is honorable. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. You know, when I think about this verse, I think about how, you know, the psalmist loves the word of God, loves what he teaches. Store it up in your heart. And when we think about storing up verses in our heart, I think oftentimes we think of Jesus in the desert, right? We've heard this, you know, that we should have, you know, Bible passages memorized for a time of temptation, just like Jesus in the desert. And while I totally think that's true, and I believe that we should store up Bible verses in our heart, I think what the psalmist is referring to here is not just storing up verses in our heart so that we can repeat them, but storing up verses in our heart so we can live them out. Because when we live the word of God out, when we live out his commandments, it's easier to stay pure. Matthew 5, Jesus says in verse 29, he says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." What is Jesus saying? If there's something in our lives that causes us to sin, we need to throw it away. This is tough. This requires some self, you know, reflection, right? What causes us to sin? What causes impurity in our life? And you know, if we're honest, this is a really extreme result, right? Cutting it off and throwing it away. But I think there are certain times in our life when we really need to apply this literally. You know, if you're here today and, you know, every time you go on Netflix, you watch something and it, you know, causes you to take time away from your relationship with God and it causes you to think certain thoughts, maybe it's time to throw Netflix away. You know, I've got up here many a time and talked about sports and how much I love sports. You know, and I do. All my hockey teams are out. Every single one is gone in the first round. I'm so unhappy. I got my Dodgers. They're doing good. They're first in the league. But if I spend so much time watching sports and, you know, concerned about where the first round draft pick is going to go, that I'm taking time away from my relationship with God, maybe it's time for me to review sports in my life, right? Church, don't we have these things that take time away? And that doesn't mean that sports is bad, and I'm not condemning Netflix. You know, it could be bowling. Maybe you're like obsessed with bowling and you just can't stop bowling. You gotta get that perfect game. What is it, 450 is a perfect game? You know, whatever it is in your life that's causing you to sin, this is an individual thing. I'm not up here calling individual things out. I'm asking you to reflect. What causes you to sin? What causes you impurity? What causes you to fear? What causes you to worry? What causes you to gossip? Throw these things out of your life. You don't need them as much as you need Christ. And there might come a time, you know, if I'm a sports addict and I give it away, that I might be able to, you know, have it back in my life. If it were me, it probably wouldn't be. You can ask my wife. But, church, we were called to be the kind of people that do this. Cut off things in our life that cause us to sin. Because Christ is so much better. Amen? With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies, I delight as much as in riches. When was the last time we delighted over the word of God? You know, back many, many, many moons ago when Jessica and I were dating. It's been a long time. We're 10 years this year, by the way. Yeah, I know. It's so exciting. It's a crazy time. What do you do for your, you can't go anywhere. But, yeah, 10 years. So we're old now. We're like over the hump now. But I remember we were dating. We were going to watch a movie and we were like going to go to this movie theater, you know, and so we're like looking and I wanted to watch a show and Jessica's really, really great about always like reading the review about what the movie is about or whatever, right? And so she looked at the review and there was some bad content in the movie. And I remember I said, and I'm ashamed that I was just like, "Oh man, you know, sometimes it's so hard to be a Christian. We can't watch this movie." Like, ah. And Jess looked at me and she was like, "Seriously? Jesus died for your sins?" And you're like, but I want to watch the movie, man. It's so good. It's got a great action scene, really. But I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only one that struggles with this, church. But I'm like, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. I can't talk about that person I want to talk about. Oh, so God put this law in place so, you know, now I can't do anything I want. Church, he gave us freedom, amen? We need to look at it like that's what the psalmist is saying. He's given us freedom. We should delight in his law because his law is freedom. Matthew 15, Jesus tells this awesome parable. He says, and he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." I love this, just as a pause. Whenever Jesus explains his own parable to us, we should listen. This is like him giving us the opportunity to like double down and understand what he's saying. And he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." And I see this as a warning from Jesus. Yes, you know, in this time, remember, like Jesus was a Jew. They were very concerned with what came into their body and how it was washed. And Jesus is saying, yes, that's important. You need to be concerned with the content that comes in. But the reason we're concerned with what comes in is because we got to be concerned with what comes out. Because that's the sign of our heart. You know, you can sit up here and you can say, "I don't even own a TV. I don't listen to music. I don't go to the supermarket." You know, like when I buy groceries, I buy them all online before it was cool, before COVID, because I don't want to go out and be impure. And you walk around and judge people. What good was it all? You walk around and you spew hate. What good was it all? Church, the point of us being pure is not purity for purity's sake. It's purity so that what comes out of us is pure. So that when people see us and they hear us, they look at us and they say, "Hey, this guy's different. Something's weird about him. What's up with him?" Or her. Sorry, I just speak about me. Church, we were called to be the kind of people that when people look at us, they see Christ. They need to see purity. It needs to come into us and out of us. And if, you know, you check everything you watch, you check everything you listen to, and you still speak like other people, and you still act like other people, then it was for nothing. Just like the Pharisees, right? All their rules, all their laws, all the things that they made up so they were so careful, it didn't matter because they were trying to trap Jesus here. They didn't even recognize the Messiah, and he was in front of their faces. Their rules didn't help, and that's why this is a relationship. Right? It's our relationship with Christ. And that's why I can't stand up here. I could sit if I wanted to, but I'm standing right now. That's why I can't stand up here and say to you, "Don't do this, don't watch that," because it's between you and Christ. You need to ask yourself the question, am I keeping my way pure? Sure, you can go to wise people like Pastor Doug and get his advice, and I'm sure he's willing to give it. He's not here, so I'm volunteering him. But, you know, you can go to wise people and you can, you know, ask them and talk to them. Absolutely. But in the end, it's between you and God. "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." You know, I think one of the worst things with our modern society is that this idea of meditation has been like hijacked. And it's now this thing where, you know, you sit cross-legged and you play like a weird banjo thing and grow a beard and go hum, you know. Right? Isn't that what we think of when we think of meditation? Just me? Okay. But meditation, I mean, it's something we're supposed to be doing. Meditation is not something where you close your eyes and you find inner peace. It's where you find God's peace in his word. Amen, church? We were called to meditate. There are so many scriptures that, you know, just will blow your mind if you think about them. But too often, I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, I got to get my chapter a day, keep the devil away, keep God happy, right? No, I'm kidding. But I'm like that, right? So I'm just reading for reading's sake. Read the word to meditate on it. Understand it. Dig into it. There are so many passages that we could spend a month on. Really, church. I know I joked about a couple hours on here. You know, but how much time can we spend just on these verses? God is good. He has something for us. We need to take the time, meditate on his word. And the last verse, I love how the psalmist closes this out. He says, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." And as we land the plane, as we close today, I just want to, you know, say, I like what the psalmist, "I will not forget your word." What happened in the garden? You remember the snake, he's the craftiest creature, and he comes before Eve, and what does it say? Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? This was the enemy's first play, and it's still his play today. Did God actually say? Did God actually say that? Did God actually say that, you know, to like lust is commit adultery? Because everybody lusts, right? Did God actually say to be angry is to commit murder? Because everyone's angry, right? It's not a big deal. Did God actually say we shouldn't gossip? Did God actually define gossip? Did God say I shouldn't watch that movie? Did God actually say our enemy, this has been his play since day one, and he's got a one playbook book. He's a terrible coach, but he's a great tempter. He is our enemy, and he's up there, and he's been saying this since the very first days. Did God actually say? When we read this, we need to be able to answer, yes, he said. Here we have it right for us, church. Are we in this book? Are we reading it? Are we understanding it? Are we meditating on it? Because our enemy's continuing to say, did God actually say? You know, did God actually say that it's a big deal, what we're doing? What we're choosing, what we're intaking in our lives. Everyone's watching. It's the most popular movie in the world. What's the big deal? Church, we need to know what God actually said if we're going to be pure, if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be Christians who can go out in the world and preach his name and show his light by how we live. Amen? We need to know this word. And I see more and more, you know, anytime you go online and all this craziness going on, and there's all these people that are like, well, God said this, God said that. And so many of them are wrong. Right? It's like the classic saying, God helps those who help themselves. The Bible doesn't say that. People believe it. We need to know, oh man, this is really running away today. That's okay, we're closing here. God did say. We need to know what he did say and have it stored up and ready for our use so that we can keep our way pure. So that when a decision comes our way, we can say, you know, I know this is right for me. I know this is wrong for me. And we don't need to judge everyone else, but we need to know, is this right for me? Being youth leaders, you know, we have this conversation with youth all the time. Because, you know, they're just getting that age. They can make their own decisions. They can listen to their own music. They can watch their own shows. And, you know, we often end up in a conversation about what shows are good, what video games are good, what's bad, what's not. And I say to them this, you got to start taking your faith in your own hands and start asking yourself and asking God, what is right for me? Look in the Word. Is this okay? This video game, this thing? Because I think we're parents, we got kids, we got two little girls. We're so concerned with what they watch, right? We're so concerned with their intake. Are we concerned with our own intake? You know, are we concerned with what we're getting in our souls? Church, I challenge you this week, ask yourself the question, am I keeping my way pure? And I believe that if we ask ourselves that question, we search, God will answer, won't he? Amen? So as we leave today, as we close, I want to encourage you to take some time, meditate on the Word of God. Take out this psalm. It's great. Psalm 119. Read the whole thing. Don't worry. It doesn't take very long. Just kidding. And delight in his statutes. Read his word. Meditate on it. And see what it has to say about purity. There's a lot about purity in this really, really long psalm. And it's worth it. Ask yourself the question, am I keeping my way pure? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're so concerned about us. That you're so involved in every aspect of our lives, that you can count the hairs on our heads. You know our thoughts, you know our fears, you know our concerns, you know our innermost desires. God, thank you that you know us. Search each and every one of us, God, and show us the parts of us that we need to bring back to the cross, bring back to the feet of the cross and give to you. Help us keep our way pure as a church so that we can be effective for you in this world. God, I ask you show each and every one of us here today what it is we need to throw out, what it is we need to work on, what it is we need to monitor in our lives to keep our way pure. God, help each and every one of us to be effective. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, know your love, know your grace, your mercy, your peace, it's time to know him. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. He is such a good God, and he wants to give his children good things. If you're here today and you don't know him, it is so easy. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say a prayer with me, and then he can be your Savior. It's a free gift. He's asking for your heart, that he would be the Lord of your life. And if you let him be that, you're not giving up any freedoms, you're gaining them. Because his law is true and real and is full of freedom. Father, for anyone here that's had an attitude like me, where I think, oh, I want to watch that movie, but I can't, help me to delight in your word instead. And delight in the freedom you've given us. Father, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to search ourselves. Thank you, Father. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus into your heart, now is your time. This is your moment. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as an outward sign of an inward change. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're online and you want to make a commitment to him, send an email to the church. I'm sure it's linked there. And it's going to be the greatest decision you ever made. Will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would make us pure. I ask that you would come into our lives and you would change us. Father, I pray I thank you that our names are written in the book of life and that you know us. Change us as we go. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for your death on the cross. And we pray this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. As we go today, I just want to remind you that for giving, there are 6 ways to give now. We've gained 2. You can use Tithely. You can use e-transfer. If you're like still old school, there are stations at the back where you can give. And also, I think this is the last Sunday for the backpacks. This is the last Sunday for the backpacks. So if God's put on your heart to, you know, fill a backpack for a kid, now is the time to give to that. You can talk to Jessica Watson if you have any questions about that. Connect cards. Fill them in. If you know you're a first timer here or you've been here forever, you want to fill out a Connect card, fill them in. We'll respond to you. And lastly, if you want prayer, come to the altar. Come to the place where Jesus, you know, can work on you. Because if you want prayer, prayer is power. And no, we can't lay hands on each other anymore, but we can still pray together, join together in prayer. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great week. And God bless.